Welcome. You are listening to the Retirement Lifestyle Show with Roshan Lungani, Eric Olson, and Adrian Nicholson. This show is an exploration of ideas to help you work toward your ideal retirement. Get ready for the financial independence of your dreams.
Welcome to the Retirement Lifestyle Show. I'm your co-host, Roshan Lungani, here with Adrian Nicholson. We've got a great episode for you today. Adrian, how's your week been so far?
My week's been good. My weekend was good too. Just spent a little time packing, about to take a trip and soon. So I'm looking forward to that. Just trying to get ahead of the curve and looking forward to this week.
As am I. We've got a great topic to discuss today where we're going to talk about the mid-year outlook. What's happened so far? What's expected going forward? Adrian's got a great list of 5 items and themes to go over. So Adrian, why don't we jump right into it?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So for preparing for this topic, I looked at a BlackRock mid-year outlook, and they highlighted 5 mega forces. That's what they called them. I think a better way to describe it are themes. So they use mega forces in this topic for their article, and it's a good way to help guide you in your research and make more informed decisions for the rest of this year and beyond. And it can help guide your research and look for different investment opportunities by drawing on these 5 mega forces or themes, whatever you want to call them, to see where the markets are headed, just to see what's going on in totality with the economy and the world. So I think it's a good way to help guide you and steer you in the right direction this year if you're trying to look for some opportunities.
Yeah, let's jump right into it. What's the first one on the list?
So the first one on this list is digital disruption and AI. And it makes sense why this was the first one on their list. This has been up there and high on investors' radars, just given what you've seen with a select few companies driving the markets higher because of their impact and their footing in AI right now. So that's number one. And the reason why is because ultimately they're seeing a lot of productivity boosts surrounding this disruptive technology and AI. That's one of the reasons why these stocks have gone higher, and you've seen this narrow rally in the first half of the year. Can that continue in the second half? I'm not sure. Who knows? But that's something that we're going to start with our discussion today.
Yeah, you know, while preparing for this, I saw something that said that through AI, productivity is able to go up by almost 50% and this was specific to coding. I'm trying to find, yep, that's what it is. It says GitHub Copilot is a product offered by Microsoft that's an AI product. And it says it allows programmers to be 55% more productive. So on higher productivity, and the argument that on the other side is it puts a downward pressure on labor forces, because if you've got people that are more productive, you may not need so many people. But that, I was surprised to see such a big number. I can see increase in productivity. I didn't expect it to be this high.
Mm-hmm. And one of the main things they draw out as well is companies that have a lot or a great amount of proprietary data can leverage all this large amounts of data to innovative models and help drive their business more. So that's where really the opportunity will be for some of these companies out here. And that's why, we're talking about these mega forces as well, because that's where you have to look for the opportunity and do your research. Which companies are going to be the best when it comes to leveraging all the data they have using AI or whatever technology there is? So that's something that we just wanted to highlight and consider as well, because again, the first half of the year, there were 7 companies, they called it the Magnificent 7, that were really experiencing this soaring stock prices because of AI technology. And you didn't see a broad rally in the market as well. And that's something that people have questions about as well for the second half of the year. Are these 7 companies going to continue to dominate, or are you going to see more of a broader increase in some stocks that really didn't participate in this rally? That's something that is going to be on the top of mind as investors as well. What do you think about that, Roshan?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And we had an entire episode where we talked about we looked at the different opportunities that were out there. And we had said, where can people go to take advantage of some of these different trends? And we had an entire episode dedicated to what you just described. I'm trying to find the episode number.
Mm-hmm. And then while you look that up too, I guess another thing I just want to point out too, since this is our halfway check-in point with our listeners and viewers today, you might have some big winners from the first half of the year and you might have some big losers. And there's no better time than the present to really just reassess, rebalance, look at your situation just to see how you can maybe make some adjustments in the second half of the year. Or maybe you're in a position where you don't have to do that, but just seeing where you're standing and see where the risks are in your portfolio is key here as well, just so you can weather anything that comes up in the future or the second half of the year, especially if you've had a position that's become a big part of your overall portfolio. That's something that you might want to assess to see if the risk and reward is worth it at this point. That's a concept too that people need to be aware of.
Yeah, agreed. In that episode I mentioned exploring the narrow, it's called The Power of Few, Exploring the Impact of Narrow Market Rallies. That's episode 173. Now, one point I'd like to add on to this, though, is there appears to be a little bit of broadening. It's as other areas, small caps, things like that, look like they're starting to catch up with the rally.
Yep, that's big. And one thing that's going to be that just gets baked into all this on whether a rally can continue or not is something that people are going to be looking at is what's the Fed going to do with rates? Is the battle for inflation going to continue to rage on? That's all stuff that's going to have an impact on whether or not we see a broad rally. Do you believe in that, or you think that's something that shouldn't be on top of mind?
No. I don't fully disagree, although I think there is consensus that we're towards the end of the rate hiking cycle. So I think the impact of it will not be as significant as it was last year. And this year, the markets have seemed to shake off the Fed's moves as well in terms of rate hikes and still continue to go up. So I think that'll actually continue where the Fed will be the story of 2022, but not as much for 2023.
Interesting. Thanks for laying that out. So I'm going to move on to the second one because I got to imagine our viewers and listeners, some of them might have some AI fatigue at this point. But again, it's something that's been was a significant impact to the markets the first half of the year. So it makes sense why that's something people are going to be looking at in the second half of the year. So the second mega force, and again, that name, I really don't like it. I think a theme is a better way to describe it. But the second one on the list is a fragmenting world. And this is where companies in the second half of the year and beyond need to be more resilient rather than efficient. That's what they're pointing out in the BlackRock article, because we saw what happened in 2020 with companies that had an increase or relied a lot on global supply chains and manufacturing, where they were seeking reduced costs outside of whatever area they're in right now. So what BlackRock is pointing out, where you could see a future that is less globalized, where companies really need to consider how much exposure they have to the outside world and when it comes to cost as well. So that's something that I just wanted to point out to our listeners and viewers today, where if they are looking at new investment opportunities or new companies for the second half of the year, that's something that should be on top of mind and should be something that they monitor when they look into companies, seeing if they have a lot of exposure to global supply chains and manufacturing, because if that doesn't get resolved or get better, you could see it impact particular companies out there.
Yeah, and I think we've already started to see some improvement there as well. But you know, as we get improvement, you get other things like banning of chips or elements between China and the U.S. So yeah, I can still see this being a cause for concern.
Yeah, and also just geopolitical landscape is something too that you have to be aware of as well, because that does impact a lot of companies that, again, move their businesses to the outside world depending on where they are at. So it's just something that you should consider in the second half of the year, because that's can really impact a specific company. And like I mentioned in the beginning too, if you have one company that did really well in the first half of the year and become a big part of your portfolio, you need to assess all the risk components that go into it. And this could be one of them that you need to have in your considerations.
Yeah, and that reminds me, because I can't remember hearing this before on another investment, but one of the reasons Buffett sold that was cited when he sold shares of Taiwan Semiconductor was geopolitical risk. And I say, I feel like one, he does tend to invest more in the United States, so that's may not come up as much. But in addition to that, the fact that he found a company that he liked, put in a position, and then took it off and cited that as part of the issue just shows you that everyone is concerned or looking at this kind of risk, even a traditional bottom-up stock picker. Well, that's also a good place to, I'm sorry for me to give our disclosure of, this is not investment advice. These are just ideas. Please consult your tax advisor. Reach out to us if you need help.
And it could be difficult because you could do your research and find a company that has strong fundamentals, strong balance sheet, whatever it may be, make a lot of money. However, you just sometimes have to have a broad view of it and look at the overall economic landscape and maybe the geopolitical landscape as well. Just because the company makes a lot of money, they're efficient, they have good management, there are always outside forces that can impact that. And that's why when we tackle a topic like our mid-year outlook, like we're doing discussion day, it's very hard to see what will happen in the short term, because as we know, the world, the news, everything just changes day in and day out. But again, we're just trying to give you a good starting point and good areas that you can look into if you want to just gain an additional edge given us going through the halfway point.
Yeah, and I remember hearing a story of this, just saying how it could impact it. But you know, one of the large lithium providers, one of the firms that has a mine in Chile, the government there said that they would increase their state control, and that caused their stock to go down. So it's the government can do pretty much anything they want. So you really need to understand what your risks are.
That's awesome that you brought up that point, because that leads us into the third mega force, which is low carbon transition. This is moving more to a sustainable world and reducing carbon emissions across the world. And this is a particularly new and growing industry as well. So there is an additional degree of caution that investors need to have here, because there is always that potential loss that companies can have in this new and growing industry where they can run out of money, and where there are a lot of new players here, and determining who are going to be the big players in the future can be difficult sometimes. So that's why I'm going to give you that degree of caution. But low carbon transition is the third theme here as well, where you could see just massive reallocation of capital just so companies or industries or sectors can change and update their energy systems to create that more sustainable world that I was mentioning. So that's something too where investors can look for opportunities and just need to be aware of as the years go by, because this is something that, like AI, is on the top of investors' radars as well. And you could see an increase in certain raw materials that will support this type of low carbon transition, or certain supply chain manufacturers, whatever it may be. But looking for that opportunity, you have to be very careful, because again, this is a new and growing industry.
It is, and you're starting to see consolidation. A couple of years ago, similar to AI this year, where you've got stocks going up anywhere related to AI. We saw something similar with electric vehicles. So there is consolidation going on in that space now, and we've got a lot of trends, even political tailwinds, with targets of, you know, getting cars, more electric cars, and less cars that are, you know, gas guzzlers on the street. So we are starting to see that is a huge mega trend that's probably been going on now for what, 20 years almost. So it's been going on for a while. I recently saw something that talked about how electric vehicles also require more inputs from the environment, more raw materials. So there was an argument saying that they aren't better. Now I need to research that. I'd love to have someone on here that's an expert to know. But I wonder, just in seeing that, is this in general a significantly better trend for the environment or not? But that that's the first time I started seeing some data on there. So that's some homework for me to research further.
Yeah, definitely let me know what you find. I'm interested in this area as well. And again, it's just another place that investors can look into to just assess their situation. So I'll move on to the fourth mega force, which is an aging population. And the World Health Organization came out with a stat that I found pretty interesting, that in the year 2050, the portion of the world's population over 60 years will nearly double. And I thought that was a pretty fascinating stat for people to really consider as well, because a rapidly aging population has a lot of economic implications that people need to consider as well. And that can really change also the demand of certain products and services, and really can change the landscape as well, which some companies need to be aware of. Some may capitalize on this and some may not, but seeing how you can position yourself or where you can see opportunities in this theme or this force can be something that people may want to look into with an aging population as well. That staff from the World Health Organization.
And you know, that's been a trend for a while as well. I remember hearing years ago people talk about the opportunities in, you know, whether it's senior living facilities, long-term care, 55 plus communities, all trying to look at that trend of an aging population. So we will see the impact that this has overall, but it is another mega trend that I think is going to shape where we go and will create investment opportunities, or will continue to create investment opportunities.
Yes, and it's definitely going to be different depending on the location or whatever area of the world you're talking about as well. Actually, recently there was a report that came out too, where this is also a big impact in China as well with their demographic and how that's really shaping and changing their economy and markets. So this really will vary by area. So that's two that people need to look at as well. What areas of their portfolio do they have exposure to? What countries, continents, whatever it may be, are they positioned in too? So that's something else that people should have a look at too when they're reassessing their position halfway through the year.
Yeah, agreed. I agree.
So the last one I have on my list is the future of finance. And as we know, finance really has been digitized over the year. A lot of stuff is either done on your computer or on your phone. So this is a real shift that people have been seeing that's been going on over time as well. But one of the things that this BlackRock report had investors really look at, given that we're halfway through the year, is that you are seeing a tightening in capital availability right now, which could lead to non-banking lending and private lending as well. And when I looked a little bit more into this, this made me really consider the banking sector as well, because when you think about loans and borrowing and you're thinking about banking, that's the one thing that comes in top of mind. But right now, since you're seeing tightening capital availability, you're seeing people go to the non-banking route and looking for alternative ways to borrow. So that's something too that I thought was interesting. I wanted to look forward to. Do you think this is a potential risk for banks?
Well, so I think what's going on with banks is you've got one, the issue that, you know, some are saying is the Fed's fault with how fast they raised rates. I wouldn't say they're blameless, but I wouldn't blame them fully either. You've got to look at the banks and how they manage things. But as rates went up, a lot of banks lost money on longer term loans. There was a mismatch of deposits and loan duration, meaning they had, like, thinking of Silicon Valley Bank specifically, but they had put so much money in long term government bonds, but their customers were putting money in and withdrawing money really right now. So there was a mismatch with a 30-year bond and someone that needs their money today, that eventually led in part with many other issues to their demise. So that's got other banks doing exactly, Adrian, what you said, lending less money because they want to make sure not only are they meeting their capital requirements, but they're exceeding them. So they're safe if there is a run on their deposits or if there's a second shoe to drop with this crisis. So there is a concern there with those banks, which is leading to them lending less. And that's where the opportunity, I think you've mentioned, has been there. There was something similar during the financial crisis in 08 or 09, where you had alternative lenders coming up that would fill that void of banks. So I think it's something that will be sort of easily filled by other lenders, but it's going to lead to higher rates for the borrowers.
I mean, that's a good thing that you point out. And I wanted to expand this discussion a little bit farther too, because I feel like we sometimes typically have a focus on equity. Sometimes we're looking at the mid-year halfway point. So let's focus right now a little bit on bonds right now, where you are getting higher than typical rates right now. I'm seeing one thing too, when I'm researching a lot, there's a lot of focus on higher credit quality and getting better rates out there. What's kind of your viewpoint on bonds for the second half of the year as well, given where the rates are, how the Fed is having their plan laid out? So what's kind of your take on that and maybe even beyond this year?
Yeah, well, and I'd actually change one word from what you said. You said higher than typical rates. I think higher than recent rates is probably better, just because the rates we're having now are more in line with historical averages. And we were in a strange time from 09 until now, where you were getting historically lower rates. So on the from the investor's perspective, that meant making less money on bonds and bond yields. From the borrower's perspective, that meant getting lower rates on loans, you know, mortgages, 30-year mortgages under 3% versus now they're looking at, you know, 7%. So I think we're in what is more of a historically normal time with rates. But as you said, it does make bonds, even preferred stocks, you know, more attractive, because you're getting better yields on those. So as we said earlier, consult with your advisor, consult with your financial professional, do your research. We're not giving you any advice, but Adrian, as you said, there are definitely opportunities there. You're getting better yields than you have historically. And so I've read a few things, but you know, on that bond space, people looking into municipals, short-term bonds, high yield emerging market bonds. So there are opportunities in the fixed income space.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. And it's also a good point to point out too, what is going to be the right mix for you too, where if you want to have a healthy degree of equities, bonds, cash, whatever it may be, depending on your situation, is key here. Again, everybody wants to capitalize on whatever it may be on the big players for the second half of the year, but ultimately what's best right for you is important, and diversification too is key here as well. Again, if you had a first half of the year that really just changed your overall balance in your position and portfolio, bringing that back in is key here.
Yeah, and you had said this with the banking sector in mind in general, or alternative financing, but we've also had multiple episodes, and you know, I've expressed where I think there are plenty of things to research in the banking space. So I think, to me, I wonder how much it falls in line with the mega trends as the others. But you did say a shift to more, I guess, digital and digitized banking. I do see that as a mega trend, but I think that the opportunity in banks are maybe a little bit more short term, just because of the recent crisis and bank stocks having pulled back. So there may be an opportunity there. Definitely worth researching or looking into it.
Yeah, I agree as well. Now that I went through my five mega forces as well, is there anything that's on the top of your mind with this discussion, or you think it's worthwhile pointing out to the listeners and viewers now that we're more than halfway through the year? Is there any advice or anything that you think is worth noting, whether it's in the equity markets, the bond market, commodity market, private investments, any really asset class out there? What do you say is on the top of your mind for this?
Well, what I like about the mega trends is I do think they cover trends that are not only that don't only relate now, but they're going to be around for years. So there's a lot you can look at as an investor and thinking longer term. Adrian, if you had said artificial intelligence, low carbon transition, geopolitical issues, aging population, and the banking-shaped banking sector, correct? Those are the five?
The titles I have for both of them is Digital Disruption in AI, A Fragmenting World, Low Carbon Transition, Aging Population, and A Future of Finance. I think these are all five really great categories that people can look into right now if they want to look for certain opportunities. Because like I mentioned before, the first half of the year was really dominated by a select few companies. And if there's people out there that believe that there's some great companies out there that haven't gotten the same type of price appreciation, whatever it may be, this may be a good area to look into just to see if you can capture some good returns.
Yeah, and I think that it can just expand so much, right? Because when you talk about AI, you can look at the companies in them, you can look at the suppliers. You know, like I believe this is still the best performer so far this year, but NVIDIA, and how much has that has gone up all because of AI, you know, and they're the chip provider and they can't produce enough, right? So I think not only are these mega trends an issue, but are an opportunity, excuse me, but within each of these mega trends, they're you know, almost subgroups where you can look at ways to take advantage of it. So I think this was very, very useful list, and this should give everyone a good starting point if they want to look at these trends, a good starting point for their research to figure out where they'd want to invest.
Yep. Again, it's a good way to steer you in the right direction when it comes to maybe reassessing or trying to find some opportunities out there that can help you for the rest of this year and beyond that.
Yep. And for everyone, thank you for listening. It's been another episode of the Retirement Lifestyle Show. We'll be back next week. Please like, subscribe, give us 5 stars, tell your friends and families, and take control and achieve your goals.
Schedule a conversation with Roshan, Adrian, or Eric today at retirementlifestyleshow.com. Roshan and Eric are certified financial planner practitioners. They, along with Adrian, are investment advisor representatives and serve clients across the U.S. with financial planning and investment advice through Arete Wealth. If you found this show helpful, gained knowledge, or enjoyed the time you spent with us, tell your friends and leave us a 5-star review. This will help others discover the show. To access our show notes, to download any of the tools mentioned in today's podcast, to ask us a question, or to schedule a conversation, go to retirementlifestyleshow.com. All opinions expressed by podcast hosts and guests are solely their own. While based on information they believe is reliable, neither Arete Wealth nor its affiliates warrants its completeness or accuracy, nor do their opinions reflect the opinion of Arete Wealth. This podcast is for general informational purposes only and should not be regarded as specific advice or recommendations for any individual. Before making any decisions, consult a professional. The show hosts offer investment advice through Arete Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor, and securities through Arete Wealth Management, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC, and NFA. Finally, our music is The Chance, by Jason Shaw in Audionautics. It's part of the YouTube audio library and it's licensed under a Creative Commons license. I am Ray Voices. Thank you for listening.